Lord Jesus, take my lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. And take our wills and set them on fire with such love for yourself that we dare not be, after hearing your word, the same people we were when we entered. Holy Spirit, have your way. Move in transforming power this morning. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at the first half of our gospel reading. So we're in Luke 12. If you want to use the blue pew Bibles, it's on page 872. Or in your own Bibles, Luke 12, beginning with verse 49. Today, we're going to be talking about fire. And as we talk about fire, we're going to have 5 points. We're going to talk about fire's influence, fire's purpose, Jesus' purpose, fire's spark, and then fire's result. Now, I was excited about this sermon because I really like fire. From a child to even now, I've always loved playing with fire, especially kindling and starting fires. It's hard to do that around here because even in the winter with a fire pit, it's just too hot for a fire most times. But I take much pride in my ability to build a fire that can be lit with one match or maybe two. And I feel like a failure when that doesn't work. And I have to begin stuffing more newspaper underneath the logs. The key is kindling. Now I want to ask, are there any others here who like to kindle and tend to and play with fire? Are any of you, okay, yeah, I thought so. Fire is powerful. And our first point, what is fire's influence? Fire keeps you moving. Fire influences you to move. You move away as the heat increases. You build a fire and you start real close, but then you have to move as it grows. You move side to side as the smoke and heat shift into your face, depending on the wind. You move around if you're a tender of the fire because you have to get around it to stoke it, to put on more logs. You may move in as the fire begins to die down, as the air begins to chill your body. You move in for heat, but fire influences you. It keeps you moving. Now, in our discussion of fire, I came across a sermon by John Piper, and he suggests 3 types of fire: forest fire, incinerator fire, and refiner's fire. And as he talked about them, he said a forest fire destroys indiscriminately. It can't be predicted. You can't expect it, but it destroys. An incinerator consumes completely. That's its design. Nothing left but dust. A refiner's fire is a completely different thing. We hear of the refiner's fire through the Old Testament, and here are 2 scriptures. The first is from Isaiah 48, where the Lord says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction." And then from the prophet Malachi, where the prophet writes, "Who can endure the day of the Lord's coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire." And then continuing a few verses later, "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. You are not destroyed." The Lord is a refining fire, doesn't consume or destroy. And this brings us to our second point, fire's purpose. The heat of a refiner's fire is intended to bring change, to raise the temperature of the metal or the substance, to melt off or burn off impurities, to separate the metal from impurities, to make it more pure. So it's to modify and purify that which is being refined. Frequently in Scripture, we read of gold and silver. So fire's purpose, our second point, is to bring change. It's transformative. It doesn't leave you as you are. And this brings us to the first verse of our reading, Luke 12, verse 49. This is in the context of Jesus telling the church, telling his followers, you must be ready. You must be alert. And Jesus continues, and he says, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it already were kindled. I came to cast fire on the earth. Here Jesus mentions the purpose of his earthly mission. Now that's our third point, Jesus' purpose. As Christians, members of the body of Christ, pretty well we know Jesus' purpose through scriptures, through reading scriptures each week, through our worship. Jesus is the Savior, the long prophesied Messiah, the perfect Lamb who was to be killed, his blood shed to pay the price for the sin of all men and women. So the Messiah, Jesus' purpose was to die for others, for you and for me, only to conquer death in his bodily resurrection. We know Jesus' purpose and his mission. It was to complete the Father's plan for rescue, to provide the way of salvation that through Jesus alone, through faith in Jesus alone, one receives forgiveness of sin, restored into relationship, new life in his name, and eternal life in relationship with the Lord. So that's Jesus' purpose. But we read here an important aspect of Jesus' purpose, of his mission. I came, my purpose, Jesus says, I came to cast fire on the earth. Now, to cast fire, the verb used there literally means, you might think of a fishing rod, I don't fish, but to cast, to throw, to toss, to let go of, to scatter about. An important part of Jesus' purpose, his mission, is to scatter across the earth the Lord's refining fire. He declares it here. And while Jesus scatters that fire, I believe as we look at this verse, he's waiting for it to be kindled. He's preparing. He came to cast fire, but would that it were already kindled. He's waiting for the Father to kindle the fire that he will scatter. So we have fire's influence, fire's purpose, and Jesus' purpose. And now we turn our attention to the spark. In the next verse, Jesus says this, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Now Jesus is talking about fire here. I've come to cast fire on the earth, but then he changes subjects. By introducing the baptism that he will endure, he connects his baptism, his purpose, to live, to die, and to rise again. His suffering, his torture, and his execution, this baptism of which he is fearful of that he is anxious and distressed about, he connects that baptism to the starting or to the lighting of the fire. Here in this reading, we see that baptism is the spark for God's refining fire. Now, baptism is a strong biblical image. It represents the death of the old and the birth or rebirth of the new. As you're baptized, you go below water, signifying death. And as you emerge from the water, the symbolism is of new life, of new birth. Think of this baptism Jesus mentions. He will be killed, tortured, executed, submitted to death in the grave, and then 3 days later, he rises again, reborn in resurrection. So the Father's kindling and igniting of the fire is directly connected to the baptism Jesus will pass through. Baptism serves as the spark. And we're going to turn our attention to baptism a little later specifically. But for now, we've had 4 points quite quickly. Fire's influence, it causes us to move. Fire's purpose, the refiner's fire, to transform and change us. Jesus' purpose, to live as the Savior of the world, to die for you and to rise from the grave, to pay the price for our sins, and to cast God's refining fire through the earth. And we also talked about fire's spark, baptism. We now turn to our fifth and final point, fire's result. And we see this in the next verse. There's a lot in these four or five verses. Luke 12:51. Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." What is the result of the fire Jesus casts about? Is it peace? No. Jesus says, it is division. Many of you may be thinking, this isn't right. I remember the angels appearing above the shepherds, where the angels declared, quoting the King James Version, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." That's what Jesus came for. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Think about it. Peace on earth, good times for all. This is what our society pursues, what our culture values. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. But unfortunately, that's not a proper translation of this verse. It's not peace on everyone. Read it in a little more modern translation from our own Bible, Luke 2:14 from the ESV, where it reads, "Glory to God in the highest," first worship of God, "and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased." This is not peace for everyone. This is peace for a few. It's peace among the faithful. It's peace among God's people. It's not peace for all, but it's peace that identifies a division between the faithful and those outside of faith. Matthew 10:34, this same verse, "I have not come to bring peace but division." Matthew quotes it this way, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And what's the purpose of a sword? To cut, to divide, division. So what is fire's result? The result of God's refining fire being ignited by God and scattered by Jesus among God's people is change. Transforming change in God's people as they're refined, which results in a separation, which results in a difference from their former life, which results in a division. Division between God's people and all others who are not God's people. Division between those with faith in Jesus and all non-believers. Division between God's people and all outsiders. You see, through faith in Jesus Christ, having his fire kindled and blazing within you, his refining fire, God will refine you. He will burn away impurities. He will not leave you where you are or as you are. You will be moved and you will be changed. Fire, his fire, will bring transformation. And that transformation will forever mark you as different from those who don't have faith, who haven't been refined by his fire. As Jesus continues in these few verses, he talks about in one house there will be five divided, three against two, two against three, son from father divided, mother from daughter divided. Divisions in families will be identified, those with faith and those without faith. Divisions in homes, divisions in communities will be identified. Divisions in nations. Division between those with true faith in God through Jesus Christ and those who either don't have faith or those who have counterfeit faith. Bottom line here is that if you have faith, you will be identifiable because of his refining fire, his work in your life. You will be identifiable from those who don't have faith. It will set you apart. God's fire will change you. So we've touched on five points this morning regarding God's refining fire. His fire's influence will move you. It will cause you to move, to not stay where you are. His fire's purpose, to refine you, to purify you, and to transform you into His identity, His love, and His forgiveness. Thirdly, Jesus' purpose. He came into the world as the Messiah and Savior and to cast God's refining fire, to scatter it about, that it would be kindled and lit and never go out in the world. Transforming. What's the spark that started the fire but Jesus' baptism? God's refining fire is ignited in baptism. And finally, the result of God's refining fire is transformative change that will divide and separate you from unfaithful, thereby identifying you as His man, identifying you as His woman, as His witnesses, as His young adult to the world. So with all this in mind, I know that the Lord is working right now in many of you. His word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God is a refining fire in His people. You may be here today sensing you're on the outside of faith. You may not yet be convinced that faith in Jesus is relevant. You may not yet possess God's refining fire in you through faith in Jesus' name. And I hope today that you will pray, that you will respond to Jesus if that is where you are before you leave. If the Lord is prompting you to turn to Him in faith, whether for the first time or to have His fire rekindled within you, I pray you will respond this morning. You will turn to Him and submit to Him as Master, Savior, and Lord as He calls to you. Now, others of you, having called yourselves Christians for years, you may be wondering, where has the fire gone? Where is the heat? Where's the evidence of God's fire in me? Where is the movement? Where is the transformation? Where is the change? Now, as we've discussed, God's fire is ignited in baptism by the death of the old and the birth of the new, first in Jesus, and now, I believe, through baptism, Jesus commanded that we be baptized in His name if we put our faith in Him. At your baptism, His fire, therefore, was kindled and ignited within you. And God's refining fire doesn't go out. But you may be thinking, I don't see that fire. I don't feel that fire. You may feel distant. You may not feel influenced by that fire any longer. And to you, I say, draw near to the Lord. Enter His presence. Seek Him in His word, because God promises as you seek Him, He will be found. If you are not sensing His fire, if you are not seeing or feeling His fire, if you feel left alone by His transforming refiner's fire, I urge you to seek Him, to ask Him to work in your life. Now, I want to close today discussing the reality that's before us as we talk about fire. Fire is painful. As fire refines and transforms, it can be very painful. This talk of fire purifying, burning off impurities, cleansing our souls, it can lose the impact and the power that it has as we are transformed to be like Jesus, because fire and fire's influence can be painful. Jesus here declares, I didn't come to bring peace, but division and a sword. And Jesus' refining fire will not leave you as you are. He will continually to seek to bring change, purification, transformation to His people, as impurities, sin, and brokenness are burned not destroyed, are scarred, and then are healed. And as we are transformed through his activity in our lives. God does not promise peace on earth, but he does promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. If you feel you are in the midst of this refining fire and you can't take it anymore, the promise is that God never leaves you and he never will forsake you. And he will use everything for the good of those who love him. Paul wrote that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Many of you today are enduring the pain of God's refining work in your lives, and some of you are wondering why I can't take it anymore. Some of you just want it to stop. God never leaves you. He will never forsake you. God may cause things to happen. God may allow things to happen. But God will use everything. Even the consequences of your own sinful choices, he will use all for his good in your life through his fire to transform you. The pain of God's refining fire is real, and it's a fundamental reason why you need Christian community around you. Because when you're in the midst of that fire, you need other brothers and sisters of faith around you. And that's why life groups are so important and critical here at Redeemer. And that's why our focus this year and in years to come is going to include a loud, resounding gong. Not resonging, sorry. Resounding gong regarding Christian community and life groups. As you endure trials, struggles, the influence of God's refining fire, you will need other men and women of faith around you to listen to you, to cry with you, to support you, to cook meals for you, to pray for you, and to encourage you. We weren't designed to live faith isolated, but in community. That's God's desire. May we not draw back from the fire of God's presence. May we not withdraw from the heat of his refining fire. And may we be transformed by his fire, marked as his people. And may we live in community with one another as his witnesses to the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now turn our attention to